Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
We are in a series here on Sunday mornings this summer. If you're new to our church, we're in a series. Actually, this whole year, we're preaching through our core values. What are the core values of our church, or what should the core values of our church be? And one of the core values we have as a church is that we will be biblically fluent. Matter of fact, one of the ways we're increasing our fluency with the Word of God is on the back of that handout you received this morning, or if you didn't pick one up, you can pick yourself up on the way out. One of the handouts at the door. On the back of that is a reading plan. If you have the YouVersion on your cell phone, we're actually reading the New Testament together as a church. I've seen many of you log on this week, make comments this week. Thank you for joining us. If you haven't logged on yet and join us reading through the New Testament this summer, don't feel like I've missed that. I wish I'd been here last Sunday when they handed out. Pick it up. Start today. I'm just telling you, we need to know what the Word of God says. I mean, how can we embrace the truth of God's Word if we don't know the truth of God's Word? That's a really good question. So over the next few weeks, we're just talking about some of the things in God's Word that I believe are getting skewed, and some things in God's Word that we just really got to know. And this morning, we're going to talk about one of these areas we should be biblically fluent in. I want to share with you a message simply entitled, "For Heaven's Sake." Would you say that word with me? With the attitude in which you've heard people say, on your mark, set, go. For heaven's sake. How many would say most times we say that phrase not because everything is perfect? All right, we say, for heaven's sake, what were they thinking? Or what was she doing? Or what was going through his mind? Most of us say those words in despair. But I believe that we should actually be saying those words in hope. One of the areas of biblical fluency we've got to work on today is what really happens to us when this life is over. Did you know that this life that we live here on planet Earth is a very small section of the story of your life? The timeline goes on way beyond just the here and now. And I've discovered there's a whole lot of false assumptions, some of it propagated by television, some of it propagated by our culture and just by other people's ideas. There's a lot of false assumptions about heaven, and I want to give you some of those this morning. I'll start with that. Here's one of the false assumptions about heaven is that that all dogs go there. Disney says they do. I'm not really sure that they do. Here's another false assumption, a little bit more serious, is that all people go there. I'm positive they don't. Pastor, that sounds kind of cruel. Well, the Word of God actually gives us a window into the place opposite of heaven called hell, and it tells us something. There's people there. So not everyone goes to heaven. Another false assumption about heaven is that we will all be angels and spend eternity playing harps. Some of you feel like when this life is over, I'm going to become like this fat cherub, like the one on the toilet commercial, and I'm just going to spend all of eternity just bouncing around on the clouds. But if you look in the Word of God, you're actually going to see that actually there's a lot of stuff going on in heaven. It's not just people sitting around. Another false assumption is that heaven is just for good people. I'll just say this. There's really not a lot of good people in heaven. Just forgiven people. Just forgiven people. Another false assumption is really prevalent today is that there are many roads to heaven. But Acts chapter 4, verse number 12 says this, that there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. I want you to know this morning, as we talk about life after this life, that Jesus has plans for you. And His plans are good. His plans, His desires for you is for you to have life that is beyond this life. And when I say beyond, I mean beyond in every single way you can imagine. Beyond this life. In John chapter 14, He speaks about it. Jesus speaking says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And then Colossians chapter 3, this is a major verse of scripture for us today. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1 says this, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. When you became a believer, that's what happened. Christ birthed in you a new life. You're a new creation in Him. It says, since you've been raised to new life in Christ, listen to this phrase. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Today I want to talk to you about how can we set our sights on heaven. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word that always goes forth and accomplishes what you want it to accomplish. I pray that today the word of God will work in me, the word of God will work in us, and we'll give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. So Paul said, set your sights on heaven. Set your sights on the reality of heaven. Did you notice that? He didn't say, set your sights on the thoughts of heaven. He didn't say, set your sights on this figurative place. He said, set your sights on the reality that heaven exists and is prepared for you. I want to put everything I'm going to say to you this morning in one sentence. So if your pager goes off and you have to leave, sorry about that. Some of you don't even know what a pager is. If your cell phone goes off and you have to leave, you'll know what's going to be said. Here's the sentence in a sermon on a sentence today is that heaven is a real place with real rewards and real requirements. That's what I want to preach to you this morning. You know, it seems like the church used to talk a whole lot more about life after this life in the past than we do today. Matter of fact, I was telling some men this morning in men's prayer, I know this isn't accurate, but if you grew up in church like I did, or our church like I did, it seemed like every Sunday the pastor would preach about hell and we'd sing about heaven. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you grew up in a church like me. I know some of you didn't grow up in church, and you're like, Pastor, I have no idea. And the next 2 minutes of this service may not mean anything to you. But some of us remember those days. And I'm not sure that we need to go back to where those were. You know, a lot of preaching today has to do with how to handle the here and now. And we need plenty of help knowing how to handle the here and now. But I do believe if we'll set our sights on the reality of heaven, that heaven will help us in the here and now. So I've asked Megan and Travis and these guys to help us sing a little bit about heaven. And some of you are going to know these songs. Some of these songs are going to seem like they're in a foreign language to you. But let's sing them together, because we're going to focus our attention on heaven. And it says, somebody said somewhere at some time that you can't sing sitting down. So let's stand back up for the next 3 minutes. And if you know these songs about heaven, let's sing them together real quickly. You gotta clap. Yeah.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
This is probably my favorite one. This is probably my favorite one. Let's sing this one.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Hallelujah.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved.
Apostle Paul said, don't just sing about it. He said, set your heart, set your sights on the reality of heaven. And of course, Mercy Me came out with this song. More of our generation, I suppose.
I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by to my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I can only imagine.
Come on, sing. I can only imagine.
I can only imagine.
So Paul said, set your sights the realities of heaven. I want to actually be seated this morning. We're going to do that from God's Word. You know, I feel like there's two major mistakes that I can make when it comes to heaven. There's two mistakes I can make when it comes to thinking about life after this life. The first error would be I could fixate on it so much that I miss out on my life assignment right here and right now. I can be so fixated on the next life that I forget, I miss the opportunities that God has for me here. But another error I could make just as easy is I could forget that there is another life coming. I could forget that that's a truth, and I could allow that to rob me of the hope and the motivation that God wants the next life to be today. And so knowing that heaven's a real prize to be lost or gained, how can we embrace, how can we set our sights on the reality of heaven today? That's what I want to try to answer for you real quickly this morning. Number one, the first thing we got to realize is that heaven is a real place. I'm going to tell your neighbor it's a real place. It's not just some fictional place that people talk about, sing songs about, get excited about. It is a real live place. Matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 15, I'm not going to read it all to you today, but John the Revelator was actually given instructions by God to actually measure the place, the city of God that God was showing him. And I believe the reason God told him to measure it was because, I mean, you don't measure fantasies. You don't measure ideas. You measure real things. You measure literal places, actual places, physical places. Revelation chapter 21 tells us some more about that place called heaven. Here's what John wrote. He said, I did not see a temple there because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb were his temple. Since the city does not need sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God it gives its light. The Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor to it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. And the glory and the honor of nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it. No one who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the book of life. And I read this verse, you know, I don't really get excited about the jasper walls or the gates of pearl or the streets of gold, but I get really excited about the fact that we can just go and sunbathe in the glory of God. Amen. Think about that. The Bible says when Moses would climb the mountain to meet with God and have a conversation with God, that he would come down. And when he came down, his face would radiate with the glory of God so much that they would ask him to put a veil over it so they wouldn't have to look at it and so people wouldn't see that it's fading away. But in the same way, you and I are going to experience more glory in one moment of heaven than Moses ever received on the mountaintop. Amen. Heaven is a real place. And John chapter 14 reminds us that Jesus said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I also believe that God is preparing you and I for that place. That's a real place. And it must have a real impact on our lives. That's why Paul said, fix your sights on the reality of heaven. There's over 582 references to this place called heaven. Over 550 scriptures refer to it in the Word of God. It's a real place. One of the most popular scriptures might be from God's words, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what? He sent his Son. How many know that Jesus was sent from somewhere? Amen? It's heaven. Here's the second thing I want you to know is not only is heaven a real place, heaven is filled with real people. If you have a loved one who's died with faith in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, they're not in purgatory. They're not floating in space. They're definitely not in a coffin or an urn. They're not experiencing soul sleep. They are in a place just as real as this place. Maybe even more real than this place. Because this place is wasting away, but the place they are is eternal. You know, I've been with some people. I've had the honor to be with some people when they pass from this life to the next life. And I can tell you, I've been in hospital rooms and I've been in people's bedrooms when this has happened. And when doctors are present and nurses present, and not one single time has some medical professional had to come and tap us on the shoulder and say, they're gone now. It's an evident moment that there has been a transition from this life to the next life, because the moment you leave this place, you enter another place. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 28, number 8 says, to be absent from this life for the believers to be present with the Lord. So heaven is a real place. It's filled with real people. But I'll tell you, it has a real alternative also. You cannot embrace, hear me this morning. A survey was done, 20% of Americans believe in heaven that don't believe in hell. If you're one of those 20%, I'm just going to tell you, you can't embrace one without realizing the reality of the other. In Revelation chapter 21, it says, he said to me, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I'll give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. But it goes on to say in verse number 8, about those who don't accept Christ and those who refuse to give their lives to Christ, heaven has a real alternative. You know, in heaven, you get everything that Jesus deserved. No one in heaven gets what they deserve. They get what Jesus deserves. But the Bible says that the wages of sin is death and destruction every single time. So those who are believers in Christ, we go to heaven to get what Jesus deserves. But those who reject him go to hell to get what I deserve. It's a real alternative. I've heard people say like this. Matter of fact, I was looking. You can actually buy a t-shirt on Amazon that says, well, at least in hell, I'll be with my friends. Let me tell you something. Hell is the exact opposite of heaven. In heaven, the Bible says you will be with those who you know and you love, and you'll be known as you're known now. But if you look through the Word of God, the few moments we have to look into the portals of hell, you're going to experience people who are utterly alone. Not just divorced from the presence of God, but divorced from every other source of comfort. It has a real alternative. And I know there's people that say, well, how can a loving God choose to send people to hell? And I can tell you, God will never send a single person to hell. But we can send ourselves there. Ezekiel says this, as surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. Turn from your wickedness, O people of Israel. Why should you die? And I believe the Lord's voice to us today is still that same voice. He does not desire one single person to miss out on heaven. So he is saying, turn to me. Amen? That's the voice of God, compassion of God. Here's the second thing is, you have to remember that heaven has real rewards. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die from now on in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from all their hard work. How many can testify that life can be hard work? And that their rewards or that their deeds follow them. You know, Peter got to wondering one time. He said, Lord, you know, I'm serving you. I've left all to serve you. It's cost me some things. Or what am I getting out of this? And Jesus said, listen, you're not going to fail to receive, not just in this life, but in the next life as well, things for serving me. See, heaven is part of the reward system of God. It offers real rewards. Here's a few of the real rewards it offers. Number one, in heaven, you're going to be relieved of all the trouble of earth. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4 says that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no death, shall no longer be mourning, crying, or pain, for the first things have passed. They're gone. I mean, that's what heaven is. 1997. My mother was diagnosed with cancer, and every doctor said, we're going to beat it, no worries. 2 years later, October 1999, she went to be with the Lord. And her and my dad had this agreement. I wrote this down without crying. I'm not sure why I'm bawling like a baby to you right now, but they had an agreement they didn't tell us kids about till later. Their agreement was that if she left this life, there would be no goodbyes. Matter of fact, my mother made him promise, the only words you can say to me are see you later. In the passing hours, moments of my life, of my mother's life, we said to her, see you soon. Because see, heaven is a place where we're relieved from all that. For the believer, there is no such thing as goodbye. It's see you soon. Because you're going to be, here's the second reward of heaven, is you're going to be with those who've gone before you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says we're going to be known there just like we're known here. That's why Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 1, that since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside everything that hinders us and run the race that God has before us. And friends, I believe if you could interpret the chants coming from the crowds of heaven that are watching your life tonight, this morning, you would hear them say something like this, for heaven's sake, run for the prize of heaven today. Amen? Set your sights on the reality of heaven today. It's a real place filled with real people that has real rewards. And that place, you're going to discover how your work affected real people here on earth. You know, there's a phrase that says you can't take it with you when you go. I remember several years ago, there was a Lexus commercial where it showed this gentleman being buried in his Lexus. You remember that? And then after it showed him being buried in his car, it looked over to his wife and she was sobbing and she said, I'm going to miss that car. You remember that? Horrible commercial. How dare you bring that up in church? But can I tell you, there is something you can take with you when you go. It's the impact you have on people's lives. It goes with you. That's why Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because in heaven we get to embrace everything we get to send ahead. I would just tell you as a church, did you know that when you get to heaven, that there's going to be people, there's going to be children from cities you've never heard of and places you've never been that's going to come up. I'm convinced they're going to come up and to say, hey, thanks for giving to missions. I'm convinced. Some of you that helped this week with Champ Camp, there may be somebody that approaches you in heaven that says, hey, thanks for giving a week of your life to help me because it was that week when you spoke something to my life. And you may not have seen a change in me that day, but it changed my life. And I'm here today because you gave a word of encouragement to me. There's some of you that you have actually shared your faith with people and they rejected you. But you never know what the Holy Spirit does in their life the moments they leave you. And they're going to be there to say, hey, thanks for giving, thanks for speaking, thanks for loving me. And the final reward of heaven, I saved the best for last when it comes to reward. The final reward is this, is that you get to be with Jesus. Amen? You get to be with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that now we see through a glass darkly, but there in that place, we're going to see Him face to face. You know, Jesus was spending his life, his last few minutes on earth before the crucifixion. And you know the story, he was hung between two thieves. One of them mocked them, and the other one said in those closing moments of Jesus' life, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turned to that man and he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Can I tell you, the prize given to that man was not paradise. It was the fact that he got to be with Jesus. And he's been with Jesus for over 2,000 years now, enjoying all the benefits of heaven. And I believe if you could interview him a moment today, he would simply say, boy, it feels like we just got here. That's how great it's going to be. You're going to be with him. But as I close this morning, I have to remind you that heaven is a real place. It has real rewards, but it also has real requirements. Psalm Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaking, Megan, if you want to come, says these words, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that lead to life. And there are few who find it. But this morning I can tell you, you can find it. You can find it. Revelation says, nothing impure will ever enter. No one who does what is shameful or deceitful. But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven has a real requirement. I told you at the beginning of this message, not because I'm being judgmental, not because I'm out of touch, but because for the utmost respect of God's Word in your life, I have to tell you, heaven has real requirements. And to get in, you got to meet the requirements. I remember when I was a kid, our family used to vacation in Branson. I think if you're from Arkansas, you have to go to Branson for vacation at some point. And we used to go there. And my favorite thing about Branson was they had these go-kart tracks. It seems like everywhere. And we used to go. And I remember the first time my dad took me, they had the picture of this little kid, a little wood cutout. And he was standing with his arm like this. And there was a sign that said, to ride the go-karts, you must be this tall. And so Dad said, well, go stay in under the hand. And so I walked over there, and my head came to about right here. And Dad said, man, I really wanted you to ride this go-kart, son, but you're too short. And he could tell I was heartbroken, so my dad reached up. He's wearing a ball cap. He took the ball cap off his head and made it as small as he could make it. And he didn't put it on my head to wear. He just set it very gently on top of my head. And even though I was too short to qualify, he did something that made me tall enough. I tell you, you and I will never qualify for heaven on our own. But Jesus did something so that we can enter heaven not on our merit, but on his merit. Amen? Heaven's a real place. And you can go there today. I want to ask you, do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're going? Have you made Jesus Christ the leader of your life? Have you set your sights on heaven? I know there's a lot of different sights that can catch your attention, that can distract us and lead our hearts in different directions, but I want to just echo Paul's remarks this morning and say, set your sights on heaven. Our biblical fluency over this issue is costing a lot of people to set their lives, their sights on other things. They think this all the life is the here and now. But I want to tell you, there's more to life than just the here and now. So I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 says this, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you can be saved this morning. Heaven can be your home. Today, with every head bowed, every eyes closed, say, Pastor, my sights have not been set on Jesus or what he has for me in this life or the next life. This morning I want to challenge you, set your sights on heaven. Set your sights on life that in every way is beyond this life. If you've never committed your life to Christ today, this could be your day. Set your sights on heaven. If that's you this morning, this private moment, just lift a hand real quick. So pray for me, Pastor, I'm not right with God, but today I need to make heaven my home. I need to make sure that I'm right with God. Amen. 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 Listen, my word to you once again. Romans 10, chapter 9. Or Romans 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now that's not just a declaration alone. It is a declaration from your heart that I believe Jesus is who he said he is, and I'm going to live my life following him. Church, would you join me in a prayer this morning? Would you say this prayer out loud so those who lifted their hand could have just the comfort of knowing that they're not the first one to pray this? And we're going to welcome some people into the family of God, fresh and new, or rejoice with them as they get things back on track with God, as they set their realities of their life on heaven. So let's pray this together. Let's say it out loud together as a church. Dear Jesus, thanks for loving me. Thank you for leaving heaven so that I could have heaven. Thank you for giving your life so I could have life. Lord, I confess today, I need you. I believe in you, Jesus. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me my past. I declare that you're God and I need you. So lead me, Lord, and I'll follow. In Jesus' name. Would you give the Lord a hand clap with those who are making that decision for the first time? Amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.